I don't anymore. I don't pick up these odds.
So, yeah. Oh, I don't either.
I don't know.
Yeah, I
got.
Probably
641. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. It's 10 o'clock, and I'm calling to order the meeting of the Troy County Board of Supervisors on April 23rd, 2019. And if you would like to, please join us as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now we'll have public comment number one. And as you can see from the agenda, this comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the room who would like to now, during the public comment section, say anything about anything on the agenda for today? Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close the public comment section. And next, we will do recognition of the 2019 Story County Citizen of the Year. And it is my pleasure to read the nomination for Citizen of the Year. It's not really short, but it should not be really short because there are a lot of great things to say about this individual. So it's my pleasure to read this. The 2019 Citizen of the Year stands out among a strong network of community volunteers because of ongoing and tireless efforts to act with compassion and care for others when it's needed most. Hundreds of individuals have benefited from this year's recipient and quiet efforts for the past 20 years. A community everyday hero, our Citizen of the Year cares deeply, offers abundances, and is always there to make life better for neighbors in need. We are extremely pleased to recognize Mr. Gil Peterson as the 2019 Story County Citizen of the Year. Since 1997, Gil has acted as the volunteer executive director for the Nevada Community Cupboard, where he manages the operational aspects of the cupboard, inventory, patron needs, and youth status, community volunteers, and finance to ensure the shelter stocks and always ready in times of need. This means driving to the Food Bank of Iowa in Des Moines, receiving food and cash donations from the community, and partnership with area businesses to support those who are most vulnerable. By word and deed, Gil imprints the rewards of volunteering on others and encourages involvement. Whereas Gil might say he could not run the cupboard without the support of the community, community members respond that the Nevada Community Cupboard could not serve those in hunger without Gil's diligent work. His capacity to match the abundance of some to address the needs of others is a product of Gil's continuous and caring leadership. But there are other things. Gil also serves with other advocates to address the causes of hunger and food insecurity as a member of the Story County Hunger Collaboration. This alliance meets monthly and extends Gil's sphere of influence directly to two other hunger-based programs in Nevada. Nevada Food at First is a free community meal program held on Monday and Thursday evenings, sustained by volunteers for nearly 10 years. Gil meets with the Nevada Food at First Steering Committee quarterly, tends to the program's fiscal matters, and assists the volunteer community meal coordinator. Gil's relationship to the Hunger Collaboration also brought improved access to healthy food for school-aged children in Nevada beginning in the summer of 2013. This summer feeding program, now called Food for Thought, I love that, is supported and maintained by the combined efforts of the Iowa Department of Education, USDA Summer Food Service Program, United Way of Story County, and YSS. To add to all that, during the spring each year, Gil continues to help those in need of care and spreads his gifts for generating abundance. For those who cannot afford it, Gil provides free tax preparation as an ARPA Foundation tax aid volunteer. For the past 17 years, he's served an estimated 200 individuals and households from January through April in Nevada, Ames, and Boone Public Libraries. By offering older and low-income taxpayers access to a professionally prepared tax return, Gil helps identify credits and deductions that might otherwise have been missed and assets when needed beyond tax season. So it's my pleasure, and Gil, you're here, I take it, to present you with our certificate of appreciation and a gift. You come forward, we have a picture.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all your work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your work. It's been wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
We are going to have a quick meeting today because two other members of the board have a previous commitment that they need to get to. As we go through the agenda, I will just say when we're going to defer items for a meeting, upcoming meeting. But next, we have an update on StoryCom, and I'm going to turn this over to Rick Sanders, our board member who's been most involved in that, to introduce presenters and give a brief statement.
Super, yeah. So I don't even know if I have a brief statement other than to say that I asked Rob Dina and Doug to come today. So they're our executive team that are leading the executive group of StoryCom and have done a phenomenal job getting to this point. But as we approach signing the contract, and we also have updating our 28Es later today on the agenda, I thought it would be completely appropriate for them to give us a real high-level overview, knowing that Linda is new here on the board since we started these conversations. Loris was very new on the board when we started these conversations. And I think it would be really beneficial if you guys could just take a few moments and just walk us through as a board where we were, where we are and how we got there, and where we think we're going and the kind of things that are going to be hitting us here pretty quickly. So if you guys, and Dean, I know you and I spoke most about this, but whoever wants to walk us through that, that'd be great. And like Linda said, time is of the essence, so please consider a real high-level overview and then questions from the board.
Thank you.
Good
morning.
Dina.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. I'd also like to recognize Inspire. They're also in our working group, Tom Packett and Josh Bennett, so they have been instrumental in this process as well. So I'll try to be brief. All of my counterparts are here, so we can answer any questions that you may have. But I'll just start off by saying many county members have been working to replace the aging radio system for a number of years, and we're quite excited that we're here and now to present and move forward with the system. But I'll back up a little bit just for some of the newer board members, just to give you a timeline of where things started. In September of 2017, Story County, City of Ames, Iowa State, and 911 Service Board retained Mission Critical to help us with this process, to analyze the radio system, and they did in fact determine that we do need a radio system, which we had we did realize at the time, but they validated that for us. And then in February of 2018, Story County, City of Ames, Iowa State, the 911 Services Board again entered into a 28E agreement to establish a process for design and bidding of a radio system. So Mission Critical was then hired for that second portion to help us with that. And then we brought in ISU's procurement process to help us with that, which they have been super instrumental in getting us to where we're at today, and we're very appreciative of all the work that they have done to help us get here with that. In October of 2018, ISU procurement put out an RFP, and so that was on the streets. And then in December of 2018 and January of 2019, then we reviewed those RFPs, our working committee did, and made a recommendation then. In 2018 also, Story County, City of Ames, ISU, and the 911 Service Board entered into what Rick was referring to as a new 28E agreement that formed StoryCom. StoryCom Board has one member from the county, one member from the City of Ames, and one member from Iowa State, and then they have three ex officio members. And those ex officio members are non-voting members that are members of the 911 Service Board executive. So, on March 4th of 2019, this was an exciting day for us, we moved to enter into final negotiation contract with Harris Raycom and for our radio system. ISU Purchasing and our attorneys and all of the different entities have been working to negotiate that contract, and we are near completion with that and hope to have final signing by May 1st. The total cost of the project is around $11 million. $5 million of that is the infrastructure cost. $2 million is guaranteed radios. By guaranteed radios, I mean those are radios that we have guaranteed to purchase for the three large law enforcement agencies. And then another $4 million that will be 15-year cost of the expectancy of the system, or purchasing the system over 15 years. Raycom has proposed a 5-site tower configuration with all of the towers being in Story County. Currently, those proposed sites are Story County Justice Center, Wallace Hall, Gilbert Middle School, location in Zeering, and a location in Cambridge. So there's still some determination to be done with those locations, but that's where we're at right now. The level of coverage will be 95% coverage, which is really good portable coverage, and it will be a P25 public safety system. So that's very important to the law enforcement EMS personnel. The build-out will take us about 18 to 24 months once we sign the contract. Our current radio vendor is eliminating the radio system that we're currently on. So what that means is at the end of next fiscal year, we will need to be migrated to a different system. So one of the things that was attractive within the Harris Raycom system is they do have an early build-out for us. Once we sign contract, there's about a six-month window opportunity that it will take them to build that system. It will be a temporary system, so it will not be the full 95% coverage that we will have at the end of the system. But it is a four-site tower site that they're looking at to put us on initially for that, and we believe that potentially we'll have better coverage than we're currently on with the system. So that causes us a little bit of issue in that we need to purchase radios sooner than we had anticipated when we first started this project, but contract negotiations have been ongoing, and the prices that have been negotiated are very good prices. We believe, and then we have also negotiated some pricing or some longevity for 0% interest and a number of years to be able to purchase those radios so that we'll have some time to do that in the existing, as we're migrating to one system and then to the next system. So at the end of the 24-month cycle or whatever that may be, then we have an additional year that those radio costs will be valid for as well. So. Once we sign contract, Raycom will be coming out to all of the fire, EMS, users, public works to give an overview of different radios and the different items and features and everything so that everybody will have an opportunity to make a clear judgment call on what radios are necessary for those systems. Let's see, what else can I tell you? Ames Fire put in for a grant for fire personnel. I don't remember when, but some time ago, and we're hoping that we will be awarded that grant. If so, that will help some of the fire agencies with those radios. And they hope to know maybe sometime in May or June this year for that award. Let's see, what else can I tell you? The paging system, that's also been another caveat that we've been concerned about. That is also within this radio project, the scope of the radio project. That actually is being funded through the 911 focus force. So the thought process was that will be taken care of, the funding for the pagers and the system will be taken care of through that funding source so that the fire and EMS personnel can focus on the radios that are necessary for the existing radio system that will be coming forthcoming. We have not tried to reinvent the wheel on anything. We have, since we have been into contract negotiations, we have been working with our counterparts that are already on the Raycom Hero system to learn how they're managing their system, different things that they're doing, different tactics, different things that will help us in moving forward and coming on to this. So, is that?
That was great. Yeah. That was a lot packed into a really short time. Phenomenal job, Dina. So a couple things that I'd like to have you mention. Talk about, in broad terms, the different price points for the radios that might be used on the system. Talk a little about the decision points that are coming either for the executive group or for StoryCom. And I'm thinking of things like user fees, minimum requirements for radios to be on the system, things like that that are not determined at this point. But just talk about where we are and how your group sees us getting there.
Well, that is a work in progress, and I'll let the working group weigh in on that as well, but we are trying to determine that. Currently on the system that we have what we refer to as tower fees. And those are currently paid 50% by Story County or the agencies that use the system, and 50% to the
which she says Story County, she means 911 for Story County.
Thank you.
So some of those fees will be shifted to the new, what we now refer to as subscriber fees, because there will be maintenance, warranty, and different things that will be necessary for the upcoming radios that will be on the system. We have not determined at this point how that will be managed. StoryCon will need to make some decisions on that, and we are in the process of taking some suggestions or ideas from other entities into how that can be managed. But there will be future subscriber fees that will be need to be looked at and how those will be funded. The service board, the 911 service board, has committed to keeping the existing tower fees and putting those towards some of those fees, if you will, and, but I don't know what that structure looks like at this point. I don't know if anybody else wants to weigh in on that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. Can you give us an overview of cost of radios? I know you were able to do it with our Emergency Management Commission, but just real broad strokes so that Linda and Laura have a feel of what we're talking about at the different levels. So can you come up so we can catch you on the microphone, Doug, and introduce yourself so that everybody knows who we're talking to?
Good morning. My name is Doug Houghton. I work for the Ames Police Department. The price spread for individual radios, we're looking, so first let's background by saying these are high quality P25 capable radios that will, we anticipate will last the life of this contract, so 12 to 15 years. A fire portable radio, which is probably the most expensive because it has the most features and the most protection, about $3,900. Public safety radios, that is for law enforcement, run between $3,000 and $3,225. Public works portables, that is for your roads folks, our electric folks will use them, run between $1,400 and $1,900, depending on the features you choose. And then finally, the in-vehicle mobile radios run between $3,350 and $3,800.
Mm-hmm. And that is our negotiated pricing, so that's actually better than the pricing that will occur once we get past that negotiated period within the contract.
Yes, yes. These are exceptional prices. The quality of equipment that will be
produced. Doug, I happen to remember being at that particular meeting over at ISU, some for you, I think, Rick, as far as the radios, and I was hearing prices $5,000 to $6,000. So it is
that's
significant
correct.
Drop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see, we've guaranteed how many radios as part of this overall purchase?
700.
Okay. And how many, roughly, how many radios do we currently have on our system?
1,400.
So that difference of 700, we aren't quite sure at this point how many of those 700 we're going to pick up. That's going to feed into the user fees. That's going to make a difference on what kind of access and longevity cost this system has in terms of how it's spread out. Other items that you guys think are important for my counterparts to be aware of at this point?
I would add that there are a variety of counties and municipalities, particularly in eastern Iowa, who are already on this system. And our reach, our outreach to those groups has universally gotten positive responses. That they're happy with their system, they're happy with the vendor, they're happy with the implementation. I think we're on the right track.
Okay. And then I've got to just underscore this, and you guys have heard me say this before, but what's happening here for us the partnerships that we've been able to form here has not happened anywhere else. The idea that a county, a university, and a city would agree up front to split the base infrastructure, a third, just doesn't happen very often. And I just think, and starting with the working group, which is where the rubber meets the road, the way you guys have worked together, the way the StoryCom board has worked together, our partners at Mission Critical, and now our new chosen vendors, once we get the contract signed in Harris-Raycom, it feels like it's a great team that has come together to do what's best for all the people of Story County, regardless of where you live. Thank you guys all so much.
Any other questions?
Wanting to make it more of a comment here with the 700 radios guaranteed, but we have 1,400 on the system now, or 1,400 in use at some capacity. Does the 1,400 include for the township fire departments and even? Okay. Because I'm sure all of us have received questions from township officials, seeing one sitting out there with another hat on, about who's going to help us, can we be helped to pay for that. So I'm aware that that's
More discussion to come on that. Mm-hmm. First step is everybody needs to figure out on their own how they're going to access the system, do the best they can. Second step is to see if we actually get this fire grant, because that will may have a huge impact, and then we need to have further conversations as we go, but really premature at this point to have many of those.
Okay. All right. Ben, thank you for a lot of hard work. I know also I heard a couple of the Mission Critical, that's the right name, right? Okay. Mission Critical discussions, we're standing on those, and this was a lot of detail, a lot of coordination, so thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Great presentation. We appreciate the work.
Thank you. Good job. Now they've got a meeting downstairs of their regular, what, you guys are meeting weekly now? Is that right? Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Ethan Anderson regarding discussion and consideration of Amendment Number 1 to the StoryCom 28E Intergovernmental Agreement. Thank you, Ethan.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. The request came last week to kind of put together an amendment to 28E. That was entered into December 11th. So we're responsive to two questions here, and the first issue is amending the 28E to allow for a 15-year after acceptance of the final system for the maintenance. So the contract consideration that Raycom approached, they want that in there. So amending the 28E, that's Section 1, that's what we read there. So pretty simple, we're taking it from a 10-year effective date to a 15-year effective date, acceptance of the permit system. Recap right there. Second issue was recognizing what Rick just mentioned, that there's going to be a fire grant, there might be additional county grants, and those are subject to ownership considerations. So we need to address in the financing section that these different entities may pursue their own grant funding, and that would entail having ownership of these different units or, radio console-related accessories. So recognizing that reality on the ground that we need to have a separate ownership, we've carved out an amendment here allowing that to happen. So then in the case of the other infrastructure, that's owned by StoryCom. This provision now will allow some of these elements to be owned by the individual entities.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second purpose of the amendment here. And again, we're being responsive to the changing circumstances. I mean, the 28E we put together last December, we tried to foresee everything, but as there's new information and new contract negotiations, we want to make sure we're responsive to those things. And I think this amendment is on the schedule for the city tonight, on the city council. And I think StoryCom is going to address it tomorrow.
E911.
E911 tomorrow.
Or 911. I got to stop saying the E.
Tonight.
Is that tonight or tomorrow night?
Tonight.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's happy to ask any questions. I may refer to some of our colleagues here if there's any detailed questions.
Yeah, so I'll have a comment, but if I could just start with the motion that we approve the amendments.
I will second.
Okay, discussion.
Yeah, so I'm so appreciative of Ethan and the entire legal team at all three entities for working to put this together. It like Ethan correctly points out, when we formed this 2080, we were trying really hard to form something that could get us the next step down the field. Well, now we're the next step down the field, and the realities tell us that you can't sign a 15-year contract if you've only committed to be together for a minimum of 10 years. So we need to extend that. And then the realities of the ownership. With each entity and now potentially multiple entities buying their own equipment, we needed to address who was going to own what. This doesn't eliminate the reality that there's going to be some kind of user or subscriber fees in order to use the backbone of the system, or that there may be some requirements of what type of equipment can actually access the system, but it does allow for ownership for whatever entity is purchasing the equipment that's going to be on the system.
Questions?
Nothing for me.
Okay. No further discussion. I'll call for the vote. Mm-hmm. Sanders?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you, Ethan.
Thank you,
everybody. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah,
thank
you
very much.
See you.
Okay, next on the agenda are two agency reports, Veterans Affairs and Heartland Senior Services. Both of those are going to be moved to future agendas. Next, then, consideration of minutes. Is there a motion?
I move approval.
Second.
Okay, a motion and second for approval of the minutes of April 16th. Sanders?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. The minutes are approved. Next would be consideration of personnel actions.
I move as presented.
Second.
Wilson?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent agenda.
I move as presented.
Second.
Wilson?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent agenda is passed. Next, public hearing items. There are no public hearing items for today, so we're on to additional items. And item one is consideration on participation in the 2019 Move United Food Drive. Leanne Harder, thank you.
Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
And this was actually one of my ways I was able to get Gil here to surprise him this morning.
It worked. He was surprised.
Quite simply, this is just a request for the board to allow us to place a table down in the entryway of the building to participate in the 2019 Live United Food Drive. It runs for a couple weeks, beginning next week through May, and then all the collections do go to local food pantries. Any questions?
Any questions?
None.
I'd move approval.
Second.
Discussion? Sanders?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you, Leanne. The tourism funding for fiscal year 2020, that will also be moved to a future agenda. So now we're now down to item three, discussion and consideration of resolution 19-104, opposition of proposed legislative changes to county finance. Let me ask a question. Do we need to read the entire resolution?
I don't need it read.
Does anybody need it read?
I don't need it read. I don't know.
Okay, anybody in the audience care to ask us to read the entire resolution? It is on the agenda. Paula, do you want a copy?
I've got one.
You've got it. Okay, everybody here seems to have a copy. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
I want to introduce an addition, so I would have a motion to approve it.
Yeah, so I'll move that we approve it. And then we can discuss amendments as we go.
Got it. All right, that's fine. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fine. I'll second that.
Okay,
now, do we have discussion?
Yes, I thought it was very well written. Thank you. That would be Supervisor Bergen who led that team, right, or did it all?
I got a resolution that another entity had adapted, and I added some things for Story County, but it was another entity was responsible for. Who else would be affected was the city.
I thought it was a very strong resolution. I did notice something that as I've been looking at this legislation move through both the House and the Senate down at the State House, has been another factor that I am worried about, and that is they would go ahead under this legislation and not allow us to apply the tax levy or tax for what's called incremental or market value. So in growing markets like ours, Just the fact that there was an evaluation increase due to a hot market would not be allowed. You'd only be able to apply the tax levy if there was new construction or there were major repairs requiring a permit. I believe that's how it was
beyond the percentage.
Beyond the percentage there.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is that since we are a growing county, and part of being a growing county has to do with more people seeking real estate, seeking housing, that we will not be able to take advantage of that, and yet either the cities or the counties will have to provide additional services related to that growth itself. And the valuation increases of existing property that haven't had major improvements on them would be left out, and so that further limits how much money we have. So that's why I propose the inclusion of this phrase. And it's just really it's three places we would change the resolution. However, it's addressing the same item in all three.
So are you proposing to amend the resolution to add this language that you...
I am.
Yes.
And so I guess I'll just comment before we get to a motion to amend.
Okay.
So I tend to agree with what you're saying here. I just think it's already addressed in what Linda put together. I think Linda is very clearly saying, hopefully we're saying, don't mess with the system that allows us to levy based on valuation. And my fear is, while I understand what you're saying, Lawrence, it's a confusing little statement. I mean, there's no great way to say it, right?
That's right.
And I'm afraid it muddies the water. It almost looks like that we would be okay with other kind of caps. And what we're saying is we don't want edict from on high being handed down to local government for anything. I mean, we were elected just like they were. In our case, we were elected by more members of the public than anybody down in Des Moines at the State House was. And I'd like to just keep it clean and say, you know what? You don't put artificial restrictions on local government. The people get to vote us in or out every 4 years, depending on how we're doing. And so I don't think I agree with you, I don't think I'm in favor of adding this language.
I hear the point. I hear the validity in the point here, Rick. And that is back to, wanting, when I see a partial list, I want to add to the list.
Right.
I want to make the list complete here. And since we do mention a couple of items in there, that's what prompted me to bring in for the inclusion. I agree also it's hard to understand.
Right.
I worked on this one a few minutes, wordsmithing it to try and get it into 20 or 30 words on that. So I am not married to this, as in this would be something that I absolutely insist and would not vote for the resolution as presented. I wanted to bring it in to see if you guys would entertain it. But I hear also about confusion,
mm-hmm.
where it is pretty clear in the items that have been listed. In that, we're saying leave us alone. I guess I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Hearing feedback on this, since nobody's seen this until I brought it to the board. This whole thing has happened very quickly. So in that case, we've not even moved to amend.
We have not moved to amend. Unless you want to, you propose this as a possible amendment, but nothing else has happened.
That is correct. I will not make a motion to formally vote on then. Linda, do you have any thoughts?
I'm glad you brought this up. I appreciate it. I'm looking at the resolution right now, and under the last paragraph before the date says, prior to passing the tax reform legislation, Story County calls for our legislators to convene work sessions with counties. That, to me, if they would do that, gives us an opportunity to bring up other issues, particularly if they come up in new proposed legislation. I'm quite frank right now. I remember there was one thing, and I'd have to go back to some of the drafts we took off, saying, let's not give them any ideas. And it's
This is the house. This is where the house really approached.
Right.
Okay. All right. In that case, I appreciate the time.
Yeah, I appreciate you putting it together. And like I say, I agree with what you're saying completely. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say this. I spent a lot of time on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday visiting with some of our representatives down in the State House, both local and from other places in the state, just sharing my concerns on things that have caveats that say, well, let's pass it and then we'll study it. I don't like that concept. I don't like the concept. I believe strongly in local control. I always have. I don't like the concept of handing it down on high. And so I made the point, if Washington, D.C. were to say to the state of Iowa, well, we're going to put some restrictions on what you can and can't do, I think these exact same representatives would not think that was a great idea. Now, that said, I do want to point out that I understand and actually agree with the base philosophy that says levies times valuation is a confusing system that allows for entities to pass the buck. Well, it's not our fault. We didn't raise the levy. Clearly, it's the assessor's fault. Or the assessors say, hey, I'm just doing what my job is. And it creates confusion. And the point I try to make repeatedly in my conversations is, if we're talking about trying to alleviate some of the confusion, let's start making sure that we as a board of supervisors are doing that. We did an example. We did a couple years ago where we have to pull out in a separate motion what we're paying all of our elected officials. It can't be buried in its own motion. It didn't change what we were doing, but it changed that we had to talk about it. We had to point it out for the public. And so what I said is, if you're truly worried about how much tax dollars any entity is taking in on any given year and how that compares to previous years, just require that we have a separate public hearing to actually talk about that. Forget about levy rates, which are part of the process. Forget about valuation, which are part of the process. Let's just talk about dollars collected. I'm going to tell you what, Story County comes out way ahead if we ever talk about that, because Story County has done a great job for years and years and years of being really, really tight with additional tax dollars coming from people in Story County. I hope that's where this is headed now. I think it's where it's headed. I think it's completely appropriate for us to pass this resolution just to make one more point that this is not appropriate by them. And then the offer I've made is that if they come down with something that just talks about transparency, talks about making sure the public's truly aware of what's happening with their dollars, I'll support that fully, and I would ask that you guys do the same if that's all they come out with, without these artificial caps.
Okay. Anything else?
Nothing.
Then I think we might be ready to vote. Sanders?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We've adopted the resolution. Thank you. And moving on, we have department reports, and animal control will be moved to a future agenda. Other reports, the floodplain management will be moved to a future agenda. We are going to deal with the discussion on options regarding onboarding and recruitment video. Leanne?
And I think instead of going in the middle of that one, I'll leave it to you guys. Thank you.
Okay.
Rather than repeating what the memo says, I'll just jump right to the recommendations. We did meet as staff to discuss various options regarding the onboarding and recruitment videos. I'm here today to ask that the board consider, rather than having someone do the onboarding video modifications, do that internally and really build it as part of the onboarding process, and then we use the monies that were budgeted for next fiscal year to do recruitment video development. Is there any questions? And then with that, go out and get solicit bids for recruitment video.
My first question is, are you looking at the same 8,000? I think is what we kind of budgeted was 8, the 8,000 for that. So that would go to the recruitment video. So, okay. Do the three of you feel that we now have enough experience in using the onboarding video and using it in combination with the actual elected officials who are coming forward to make a few hello statements at the beginning, that you might be able to come up with a kind of a more scripted plan or more of a uniform outline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Good. So that's
And another advantage of keeping the onboarding video in-house gets that point, too. As staff changes, elected officials turnover does occur from time to time, that allows us to not have to go back to the vendor to make those changes. We can just do it internally.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm comfortable with your recommendations to keep it in-house, and seems like you've got good grounded footing and moving forward on that. And
specifically to do the onboarding video in-house, but the recruitment video would be $8,000 to purchase the services of a company to do
that. That's what has been budgeted.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
I would move that we accept staff recommendation to keep the onboarding video.
I'm
on board. How's that?
Leanne will direct you to follow the plan. Thank you. Any upcoming agenda items?
I do have two, just as a little heads up, that are likely coming our way. The first one is that was approached last week at the Ames AADC meeting, and afterwards a couple of the staff from the AADC came up. John Hall, who is responsible for economic development activities with Nevada, and then Dustin Ingram, who does our smaller cities, and they had asked, could we revisit doing the Story County needs assessment, housing needs assessment, and they would like to know if the board would consider funding for that either this year or into next year. With the expansion of Burke, with the expansion of a couple of other entities within Nevada, the housing needs is really going to be pushed up, and they need some base information to be able to make plans for that. As we left it before, is the previous board had referred it over to the Story County Economic Development Group to decide when they would like to have that started and if they would take it on. The Story County Economic Development Group voted to wait until after the new census. The issue then that has been brought to me is Nevada doesn't think they can wait, and they think that housing will roll over to the east needs and other communities on the east side. So John Hall and Dustin Ingram are going to bring that to the Story County Economic Development Group, which is meeting this Thursday at 10 o'clock. And he's going to bring that up to them again, and if there's a favorable response from them, we can anticipate having that brought back, probably through Leanne, but to have that come back for a request.
Okay.
The other thing is also a request, but it will likely be a very, very small one, maybe $500. It would be from the Hunger Collaboration. There is going to be a survey done from users of our local food pantries. It will be in June. They're just finishing up on planning how this would coordinate, but to entice people who are using the pantries to complete the survey, and there are some questions on there. It's probably a 5 to 15 minute survey, and there will be volunteers helping people fill these out. They would like to give a $5 healthy food voucher to every person who completes a survey. And so they are applying to United Way for this funding grant. But in the event that United Way turns them down, they asked if it would be a possibility of approaching the county. They feel it's important with this survey to get a handle on people who are using, especially in the summer months, because we've been told before by food hunger advocates, or sorry, anti-hunger advocates, that the summer gets particularly bad because there are no longer the backpack programs, mm-hmm. and kids are out of school. So just to let you know, a heads up on that, even though, and I explained to them how our budget works, that they need to come forward with it soon so the accounting would all be done for fiscal year 19. Mm-hmm. My last one is just kind of a request, but I'm assuming we're going to do this, is discuss asset priorities or needs next week, or will we be doing that? I got an email from you, Deb, that said there won't be discussion on the 1st. Maybe you could help inform us. That's what I'm really asking for, is what are we going to do on July 1st with the asset discussion? Sorry, May 1st. I'm sorry. No wonder you're confused. May 1st discussion.
May 1st. Meeting with joint funders is primarily just to discuss the asset process in general.
Oh, okay.
And there is an item on there about priorities and just how do funders arrive at those priorities. We're not looking at changing those at this point in time. That's typically done in July or August preparation for the allocation process that starts in January. So there's not a decision on priorities at the May 1st meeting, but just how do funders arrive at those priorities, just so all the funding bodies around the table kind of get a sense of what's being looked at. And it's, that meeting is really just to discuss the asset process in general and to help provide some direction to the admin team so we can continue evaluating the process and look at making changes to policies that would eventually come back to the board, supervisors, the city council, to each of the funding bodies to discuss further and approve. So I fully expect to be back in front of the board after that May 1st meeting to discuss how the board may want to handle some of the things that come up in that discussion, because at that particular meeting, there aren't going to be firm decisions made. It's just to bring those bodies together and talk about the process.
So is that acceptable?
Oh, yes, it is.
That helps me understand it. At the last juvenile justice meeting, there were the superintendent of Ames School District was there, along with one of her vice principals who specializes in working with at-risk kids. And the school district itself, starting this year, is going to be looking at some needs related more to behavioral and mental health, but how that would tie into the asset process. There were also several asset funders who were there with several programs who were there at that juvenile justice meeting. And they were, saying it. I said, boy, it sounds like some of this would be an overlap of what asset is already funding. Mm-hmm. So I let them know on May 1st asset joint funders were meeting to discuss information. So they will be probably sitting around the outside to listen to that, because the school district sounds like they're taking money from the general fund curriculum money to shift into some of these programs they want to start.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Good. That'd be good to have them there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Deb. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Is there, okay, now public forum number 2. For items for the public to comment on that aren't on the agenda, the board cannot take action on them, but might at a future meeting. So are there any members of the public who would like to comment? Okay. Seeing nobody moved to the microphone, we'll move on to liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors. And I don't have anything I want to report on in the interest of time, because
okay.
You're going to be leaving. Is there anything that you wanted to report on?
There's just one I'm presenting on a panel tomorrow. It's called Beyond the Bus. HRDA is sponsoring it. It's for the HRDA region, and it's actually up here at Ryman Gardens. We expect some people attending from the DOT, et cetera. And we'll be talking about the perspective of a government funder when it comes to trying to meet both the needs of workplace requests that are starting to come in with public transit and then already the existing system. That's it. 10 o'clock tomorrow, in case you don't have anything better to do.
Okay, thank you. With nothing else on the agenda, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Very efficient.